Good morning, Chair Emerson, members of the board, State Forester Doherty. For the record, my name is Travis Medema, and I will give a brief fire season update. This presentation was put together a few days ago, and so I'll walk through it, and I'll really take some time and energy and focus on one slide around all the fires. But before I get started, wanted to take a brief moment to thank all the emergency response personnel, the fire service, our community leaders, our ODF staff that have responded and put their lives literally on the line to protect Oregonians. These are unprecedented and unfathomable times as we think about how the last 48 hours have transpired. We've seen the stories, we've seen the pictures, and we've seen the aftermath of fires that have impacted communities in California. I would pose to you that this is a reality we are in Oregon, and this is now. 10,000s of folks are currently evacuated, entire communities and counties evacuated, thousands of homes lost, and highly likely the loss of our fellow Oregonians. These are absolutely unprecedented, unfathomable times. To be clear, the catastrophic nature of these fires and frankly, the rapid growth has required a response like nothing Oregon has seen and will take days to get accurate information, months to contain fires, and decades and lifetimes to recover from. So as we begin, and I know the board has seen this presentation or similar presentations, this really sets the stage for how we were positioned in Oregon, and this is the updated drought outlook. As you can see, significant concerns around drought, which is clearly a driver in the wildfires based on the fuel conditions. So you can see much of Oregon is in extreme drought or abnormal drought, and these are the areas where there are problematic fires currently. This represents the counties in Oregon that have a drought declaration and their status. So as you can see along the crest, southern Oregon and parts of eastern Oregon are in this extreme drought. As we look to other conditions besides fuels as drivers for large fire, we look at temperature and other weather factors. You can see that what's predicted for September is above average temperatures. So we anticipate the remainder of September to be extremely challenging based off of the temperature outlook. And then as you can see, as we move into October and November, that theme and trend continues. Another factor is when we get moisture and precipitation to alleviate the drought-stricken fuels. You can see by the September outlook that the precipitation shows below normal, so no relief in terms of moisture that is predicted. So again, continuing difficult and challenging circumstances as we look forward through the remainder of the month. As we look out 3 months into November, begin to see moisture moving into the region from the north into the south. And as we get into October and November, anticipate potentially above normal precipitation in the northern half of the state, and then an equal chance of average precipitation for the remaining two-thirds of the great state of Oregon. That all directly translates into wildfire potential. These two slides depict significant wildfire potential. And as you can see, and what I'll highlight in the top left slide is that potential extending really the backbone of the Cascades. And as I get into kind of the fire summary status, you can see we've been extremely challenged with fires on the crest of the Cascades in very heavy fuel conditions that lead to very problematic suppression efforts. You can also see wildfire potential extending into central Oregon, and we've seen that play out earlier in the month and in the previous month with multiple fires on the east side of the Cascade. And then you can see the challenges based on the wildfire potential that we're currently experiencing and have experienced in Southwest Oregon. This is irrelevant, I will say, at this point. As of September 7th, it was current. That landscape has significantly changed. And as State Forester Doherty mentioned, we have staff absolutely 120% committed, and we did not get to updating this. I will give a quick rundown of the acreage, and you could basically add two zeros plus to acreage to date at the very end. So this is where I wanted to spend some time. This map was put together on September 7th. It's September 9th, so 2 days later. This landscape has absolutely significantly changed. And I'll walk through a series of complexes and fires that are currently challenging us. And have really, the leadership in ODF and fire management has thought through this as kind of seven spheres of operations. And I'll walk through each of those seven spheres of operations. The first kind of stage or sphere of operation is in Northwest Oregon. There's a series of fires that encompass Northwest Oregon all the way down to what the West Oregon District, including fires like the Hag Lake Fire, an emerging fire called the Ponzi Fire outside of our Tillamook District, where there's evacuations currently on a coastal community, and then also the Riverside Complex, which is in Clackamas County. Thousands of acres have burned. And the entire county, Clackamas County, is in some level currently of evacuation. So that's kind of sphere one in terms of operations. Sphere two is the Santiam River Canyon, and it's a series of fires. The Beachy Fire, the main driver in that, along with Lion's Head, estimated between those two fires is 130,000 acres. And I'll stop there for a minute and say that again. 130,000 acres is a current estimate. That exceeds totals of 2013, one incident. There are two incident management teams that are currently managing this complex of fires. One type one incident management team, Noel Livingston, along with a type two incident management team, along with our partners from Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office. This fire has moved from the Santiam River Canyon down into the lower part of the drainage into communities like Lyons, Mahama, and is really kind of at the doorstep in terms of the valley. The next sphere of operations, number three, is the 126 corridor, so Blue River Country. There's a significant fire there called the Holiday Farm Fire. That is 126,000 acres, so about the same size as Beachy and also Lion's Head. There's an incident management team, an ODF incident management team, Link Smith, assigned to the Holiday Farm Fire and the 126 River Corridor. Again, another 120,000 plus acre fire on the landscape currently. The fourth sphere of operations is the Glide River drainage out of Douglas Forest Protective Association. There are two incidents likely have combined called the Archie Fire and the Star Fire. Those fires started up in the canyon, and as with the rest of the fires, due to significant east winds of 40 to 50 miles an hour, drove strongly down canyon to the west. Within and encompassing the Archie and Star fires is another 120,000 acres estimated lost currently to date. The fifth sphere of operations is in Southwest Oregon. There's two significant fires on the landscape, the Alameda and Obenchain Fire. Both of those fires combined are around 25,000 acres and have had significant impacts to communities. There's currently an incident management team will be assigned to that complex today, Pacific Northwest, I believe Team 10, and they will be in briefing today. The sixth sphere of operations is out of the West Oregon District, and it's a complex of fires called the Echo Complex, estimated at around 1,000 acres, and currently good progress being made. However, significant challenges will continue to exist due to lack of resources on all these incidents. And then the seventh sphere of operation is on the east side in Klamath Lake District, the 242 complex, estimated at about 10,000 acres and impacted the community of Chiloquin. And so as we think through what the landscape looks like, and we look at this map, which none of those fires were on, this map currently has the fires that were on the board before the significant weather event and wind event, leads me to my opening comments around unprecedented and unfathomable with the amount of acreage, the amount of loss, and the sheer volume of work and impact to all Oregonians. Currently, there are six incident management teams assigned, one area command team assigned that will be in Northwest Oregon. That will happen, the in-briefing will occur today. And there is a high likelihood that three additional incident management teams will be needed as we set the stage for the next month in terms of management of these large incidents. The challenges are extremely clear. Number one is within Oregon and Washington, what we call Region 6. We're currently at a preparedness level of 5, which means there are literally no resources available. And nationally, we're at a preparedness level 5, meaning there are no resources available nationally. So extremely challenged and resource limited. Really, it's been, you know, existing resources in Oregon, what's been available regionally, and then some help from our neighbors as this has evolved over the last 48 hours. Currently, there are 4 of these incidents that have a fire management assistant grant, or an FMAG as we refer to them. And there's likely 4 more are in process, so that could be 8 by the end of the day or tomorrow. And as the situation continues to evolve, there's likely more as we look into the next 24 hours. This has been an extremely dynamic and evolving set of circumstances in Oregon. It has been absolutely, again, unprecedented in my career, and I think in all of our careers, and details are limited at time just due to the ability, one, to have resources, two, the magnitude of the fires and being able to have staff to actually get around and look at them, and then 3, to be able to do the triage that's necessary around loss of property, loss of structure, and any loss of life. I will pause there and see if there are any questions.
It's Tom. Do you have any information with respect to weather forecasts over the next several days and how they would affect the current situation?
I do. Thanks, Chair Imus, and that's a great segue. So as we look at weather, we looked at kind of the predicted forecast. The short-term forecast call for east winds again today. However, I believe today will be the last day of east winds. And then a ridge will be setting up over Oregon. Tomorrow will be a warmer day, upper 80s likely across the state and 90s. And then we see into the weekend the beginnings of an onshore front, an onshore push, which will help moderate temperatures likely, and also could bring some light moisture to the coastal regions. I don't know if it'll make it into the valley or not, but moderating east winds, which will give us and firefighters and emergency responders an opportunity to assess, establish control points on some of these large fires over the weekend.
Thanks.
Does that complete your report?
I'll keep going if that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's pull up the slide deck. So this, you know, this is the weather event that really set the stage for that landscape. I think as the board knows, you know, a week ago, most fires were contained in eastern Oregon and southern Oregon. Northwest Oregon had not been impacted. 3 days ago, a critical weather event set up as a low pressure moved down from the Arctic in Canada, along with a high pressure that was set over the Pacific Northwest. That combination and that ingredients led to a very significant east wind event. Those winds started, I believe, 2 days ago, maybe 2.5 days ago, started in the 20 plus mile range in certain drainages, strong northwest winds, so driving fires south, northeast winds driving fires south and west. Up gusts up to 60 miles an hour. Fires made runs that were anywhere in the 15 to 30 mile range in a single burn period, primarily wind-driven down canyon runs moving to the west and moving to the south. So this critical weather event has really emphasized, highlighted, and put the exclamation point on the landscape that we currently face in Oregon. There's some pictures of fires, the Grizzly Creek fire. You know, there will be more pictures. This, I think, in fire management folks' mind was what we wish we had on the landscape and what we had on the landscape before this weather event. But you can see by these pictures, before the east wind set, the critical nature of the fuel conditions after 20 minutes, the exponential and rapid growth of fires put a 30 to 50 mile an hour wind on this down drainage is absolutely the recipe for a catastrophic event. There have been many successes. While that picture I painted is extremely gloomy and weighs heavy on people's hearts and minds. There have been a bunch of successes, both at initial attack and extended attack. We've also, through a strategic investment from the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund and landowners, have added infrared technology to the single aircraft the department has. That has absolutely been instrumental in finding fires hailing from the east side. Before this event, that aircraft found at least 10 fires on the east side that we were all able to catch at a very small size, under 10 acres, that would have led to catastrophic large fires on the landscape. And from my operational and personal observations from this summer, this has been a critical investment and absolutely instrumental in our success across the state in finding fires and putting them out at the smallest possible size. Safety statistics, you can see the claim frequency, the five-year average, and where we're at to date, FY 2020. This has not been updated since the siege of 2.5 days ago, and we will have more updated information for the board based off the work that's occurred over the last couple days at the next board meeting. COVID response has been a huge theme across Oregon and across the nation in terms of how we deploy incident management teams, how we manage fires at a local level, at an extended attack level, and at a large scale with our IMTs. This is a picture from one of the fire camps around our deployments and COVID modules. A lot of excellent work was done with the governor's office and the MAT group set up by the governor, work from Oregon State Fire Marshal and the department to stand up 10 COVID modules, i.e. three responders that could travel with an incident management team to help mitigate the risk of COVID. And then the department proactively found and seeked out two additional staff that are on working for the department as COVID specialists They have traveled to all of the incidents and provided the necessary healthcare guidance to our incident management teams. And this is an example of how we've responded in a handful of fires where COVID modules and COVID staff have been assigned to help mitigate the risk to both our firefighters, but also our communities in terms of COVID. Large fire cost, I'll just say this is outdated. You can see where we were at on the 7th. This will be updated at the next Board of Forestry meeting. I'm not gonna take a prediction. I will say that there are significant costs the agency and our partners are incurring because of the catastrophic nature of this fire season. Severity, this just highlights the trends where we've been, and really, again, part of the recipe that has led to this catastrophic fire season. And then again, acreage to date will be updated as more information, one, becomes available, and two, as we begin to get our arms wrapped around fires, map fires, and get accurate acreage. I'd end with, as always, it's all about a complete and coordinated fire protection system. This system is amazing. We have the luxury and enjoy this in Oregon. This system is stretched, tested, and pushed beyond anything I have seen in my career with the Department of Forestry, and will continue to be stretched and pushed beyond what we could think as this has evolved over the last 100 years. I'd close with, these are catastrophic times. A few things are crystal clear to me. One is the historic efforts of Oregonians to help each other. It takes just 5 minutes watching the morning news and seeing the Oregon way and Oregon citizens and people in communities helping each other, and has truly been amazing. The heroic efforts of all of our first responders, and I started with, they have absolutely put their lives on the line to protect Oregonians, and there are numerous stories out there, and we all deserve a huge thanks and gratitude to those folks that have put their lives on the line to help protect us. And then it's clear to me, as we have discussed over the last 7 or 8 years, that the wildfire protection in Oregon, that system needs additional capacity and support from the financial structure that we've talked about, from the capacity that we've talked about, from the staffing and the support for our local fire managers. We have critical stress groups that are set up, and many of these memories and events will be with our employees for their lifetime, and we will need to support them and help our employees through this. From my perspective, as leaders in Oregon, we will need the board, we'll need the executive branch, and we'll need the legislative branch to fully support us now and into the future if we are going to be successful in the wildfire system in Oregon. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll close and thank you for the opportunity to comment today.
Well, thank you for the report. Obviously, the content of it is going to take all of us some time to really process. But I think one thing that we are grateful for is knowing that the Oregon Department of Forestry is so, we're grateful for the commitment and also for the expertise that is included in and the dedication to dealing with this kind of a challenge. So thanks for taking us through this. Peter, did you have any additional comments?
No.
Any other questions or comments from board members?
Tom, this is Joe. I just said, Travis, thanks. I appreciate that update. I got to see Joe Hessel just briefly yesterday at the ODF office here in LeGrand, and he had gotten back from Mapleton and was not knowing where he was going today, but he talked about the great work at the Mapleton fire and And so I got lucky to see a chance to see Joe. I do have a question. How do you think about severity resources in an environment like this and initial attack resources across the state, you know, with what's going on, Travis?
So it's a great question, Joe. I'll just give you my perspective. You know, we have those assets and they have been immensely successful this year. Our federal counterparts in the U.S. Forest Service have also brought in additional aviation assets. And early in the fire season, they were instrumental in catching fires. There's a litany of fires we can walk through, caught at 100, 300. I look to a board member, Kelly. There was one right out across the drainage from him. And those assets were absolutely critical. We have used those for initial attack. As we think about 120,000 acres, multiple 120,000 acre fires, you know, those resources will be assigned limitedly to those fires, but we will need them for initial attack. And what I've seen this year, just from my own personal experience, is that, you know, with these types of conditions, we need additional severity assets. One, to be successful at initial attack. Two, to be successful at extended attack. And then three, when we get to this preparedness level of five, there are no additional assets or resources. Those are the only ones the department can pull from. When you think of what's going on nationally, you think of Northern California, you think of the Bay Area, you think of the aviation assets that are contained within that theater. There are no additional severity assets, aviation assets available. And when we have an incidence like this or a situation like this, we pull from those existing aircraft. And I'm a fire operations guy, so for me, more is always better if I'm going to go fight fire. And so as we think to the future, and my ending comments around what's needed, that will be a key and critical element as we think long-term about the fire protection system in Oregon, Joe.
And I understand that Cindy was able to join us for most of this discussion and that she has her hand raised. So Cindy, we're happy to have you here and happy to have your question or comment.
Thank you, Tom. I'd like to just sort of make a comment. The Alameda fire last night was incredible. I can echo the disbelief, and it was absolutely amazing. And with the open chain down here as well, I think the entire Rogue Valley was in absolute chaos. Early in the afternoon, the road at the end of our property was one of the evacuation routes for the people of Talent and Phoenix. And we're a little two-lane country road. It was astonishing to watch the response. Later in the evening, we evacuated ourselves. And there was basically, nowhere to go. The Alameda fire spotted ahead pretty aggressively, and there were additional starts down in Central Point. And of course, most of the folks originally evacuating from Alameda had been heading north, which is towards Central Point. Folks trying to get elsewhere were running into people evacuating from Open Chain. The interstate had been closed from the California border to Medford for quite some time, so there literally was no place to evacuate to. Just the chaos on the roads. I'm astonished that the emergency response vehicles were able to get where they needed to go. It's a very challenging set of circumstances that the fire folks have to deal with, whether they're in real rugged country in the backcountry, or on an interface. And I frankly just want to thank everyone for their remarkable response.
Thanks, Cindy. I really appreciate you sharing that. I would add that that experience, that fear exists from, you know, Southern Oregon all the way up the Cascades to Clackamas County, and almost every major drainage rural community within those drainages, you've got thousands and thousands of Oregonians that have experienced that same thing. So thank you, Cindy, for sharing that. That highlights the magnitude of this situation.
Yeah. Only other comment is the property we own over in the Klamath, I think, probably was within kissing distance of the 242 as well. But we've had no power since early yesterday afternoon and still don't. So one of the challenges that all of those thousands and thousands of people you reference are dealing with is most of us really have no way to get any information either, because we've got no power.
Good.
But yeah, you're doing great. You know, all those thousands of people are very thankful for the work that you all have been doing.
Thanks, Cindy. Any other comments from board members? Okay, then this meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everybody, and stay safe.
Thanks.
Stay safe, everyone.